Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father, Dad, A1, God of heaven, look down upon your children. Use us to your glory. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the love and the life that you have given us. We're so grateful. We need this. We need you. Show yourself through us. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What's up, y'all out there in listeners land? This is Rashad Anthony Dickerson, a.k.a. the podcast host. This has been a great journey. This is very, very beautiful. We have come to this point. This is the second season's ending. We're just kind of like sitting around talking to fam, man. How it all started with Antoinette in the building, with Ryan, with Jasmine, with Anne. We're sitting around just kind of like reminiscing and thinking about things. And I definitely have a lot of thoughts on my mind at the time. These people have given me much love, much hope, and much life. We're grateful for this. We're so grateful for this. We got some spectators in the building too, paying attention. We got the Dallas Observer, and I got to give y'all big ups. Dallas Observer and D Magazine have given us a lot of love, and I want to shout a lot of people out. Today, I'm really, really melancholy, so don't mind me. Y'all know me, I'm very vivacious. You dig? So let's start the show off, man. My co-host, Miss Jasmine, asked me, how is it you work at a place with the name Vagabonds? And you're sitting here, and it's really, really ironic because I represent the homeless in so many circles. But then to be at Vagabonds, a place, the word actually literally, we should have named this show Vagabonds, and this is. I'm sitting here and I'm just reminiscing about where I came from, man. My first encounter with this library and my first encounter with the people that are in this room. Thank you guys. Anybody want to like just start reminisce about like when we first met?
Well, I just want to say that I feel like vagabond, I feel like the connotation to that word is more of like a independent, nomadic type spirit person, right? Whereas like homeless is, I feel like there's a lot more stigma to that. And if anything, vagabond to me, and again, you know, I can't speak for someone who's experiencing homelessness what I'd want to be labeled as, nor that I'd want to be labeled, period. But I feel like vagabond is a little more mysterious and a little kind of cooler to me.
Yeah, vagabond. Well, like you said, we got a negative connotation to it.
You name a bar vagabond, you don't name it like hobo or hobo dude, right? You can get away with calling it vagabond without offending people, probably.
So that's where I'm at. I mean, you remember when we first started, I had no job. What was I doing? I was working from place to place. You remember, like, we talked about doing a podcast, and I was like, yeah, I'm with it, and then I just left.
Yeah, I remember that, because it was DJ and Antoinette who told me that, again, people who think that people who are homeless just sit around all day waiting for something to do are so wrong. A lot of people who are experiencing homelessness are much busier than I am. And you, of all people, was like constantly like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to have time for that. Let me check my schedule. And I'm like, this guy is busier than anyone I know. We had talked about it. We got all excited about it. Yeah. And then we're doing lunch one day and DJ tells me, so Rashad's going to take this job out of town. He doesn't know when he's going to be back. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, this doesn't make sense, because I had this strong intuition that this podcast was going to happen. And so it didn't fit. I was like, how can he be gone? He has to come back. This podcast is going to happen. So I didn't freak out too much, but it certainly threw a kink in my understanding of the universe at the time.
When did we talk about it? We talked about it in like, what, November, maybe?
Yes, it was around November we initially talked about
and then I leave.
The possibility of it.
And I leave and I'm like, I'm out in East Texas looking at the tumbleweeds, laying tile. You know, I was working with this crew, and they would lay tile. We'd be there I was getting paid $10 an hour. And we'd be there from 5, 6 in the morning to like 2 in the morning. Eat once. And this was like, this is like a story, a genuine story about how, like, you say homeless folks are busy. Like, I'm busy. I mean, I'm working. I'm like on hands and knees hurting. And I'm putting on towel. And I got to eat once. And then it's like, I didn't think about the podcast that I was thinking about making some money.
Of course. And who am I to say, no, you can't leave. I want you to do this podcast for free.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be so cool. And don't make a living because I never want you out of homelessness. Like that, I couldn't do that. You can't do that. You have to, of course. And I feel like I've been pretty supportive every time you have something else.
No, Jazz, I'm...
Like, we will work around your schedule, Rashad. You tell us when is a good time.
No, Jazz, you and this library have shown me so much love. It's unbelievable. Like, think about it, especially that lady sitting next to you, Antoinette. Think about it. Like, I literally feel like Antoinette should, like, a long time ago just been like, look, Rashad, we do not handle personal business here at the library. you gotta genuine need something that I can help you with that's gonna help you out of homelessness, then let me help you there. But right now, what you talking about, because I'm coming up here like, man, I got these traffic tickets, man. I got to get back in school. And
this
she's,
girl, this
right.
Man.
Oh, my goodness. Let's not do that.
Like, it's the girl drama.
Yeah, and, you know, my birthday comes up and Antoinette's like, what kind of ice cream you want? And I'm like, dude, no. I'm not expecting this from the library. I'm not expecting the library to be so giving, so loving. And, you know... Thank you.
I think we're lucky to have Antoinette, too. I mean, Antoinette's been here since day one of this initiative. And we figured out a way to keep her around over the past 2 years somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Despite Rashad potentially scaring her away. So why do you stick around, Antoinette?
I stick around because I found that I have a passion for having all the answers.
A true librarian at heart.
Oh, yeah, librarian at heart. But, I mean, you know, I found something that I was passionate about. I didn't even realize that I had been here for 2 years, and I thought that that was something that was really important because other things that I've done, employment-related, I remember every miserable moment. But when I got here, I was happy. And I was like, you know what? I like what I'm doing, and I'm going to stick around and be here to help out as much as I can. And it's just kind of kept working in my favor. I just took over as the homeless engagement coordinator for the homeless engagement initiative at the library. And right now I'm just kind of compiling a list of all the resources that we have and trying to focus more on the advocacy and leadership part of our homeless engagement and leadership program. We're figuring out ways to give our customers who are experiencing homelessness a voice in some of the things that affect them. Adina was one of our most frequent visitors, and she was also a customer who was experiencing homelessness and has been for the last 3 years. And she's always been there ready to help out, doing whatever we needed her to without us paying her or without even asking any questions. And one day we got an opening for our AmeriCorps position. And I was like, hey, you want to apply? She's like, yeah. So I helped her fill out that application. We brushed up her resume and she got accepted for the position. So she is now an AmeriCorps member and resource coordinator for us.
I showed up last week, right? You were out of town. And she was like, yo, I got these ideas and I got these things I want to do here at the library. And it just... Bro, like, it really, like, it broke something in me because I was, like, I had been feeling really, really callous. And it's, like, to see Adina. I've seen Adina daily come here, coffee and conversation. You guys need anything? Having people sign in. I remember when we were back there in the back and it was, you know, Shorty and Adina would come through and everybody would come through and they'd leave, like, 300 bags back there. And, bro, like, things have changed so much. A lot has gone on and I'm so grateful. Like, seriously, especially you. You were on the first podcast, and I remember you were, like, talking about stress. And you were talking about different things you were going through. And we decided, well, nah, we're not going to put that on the podcast. But you were like, I'm okay with it. I'm really cool with it. Like, thank you, guys. So, Jasmine has this thing, right? She wanted to name the podcast Keeping It Real with Rashad. They kept throwing all of these names out here. Rashad this, Rashad. I was like, nah, man, don't put my name in the podcast. And so, not in the title anyway. And so I decided, well, okay.
Why? Why not in the title? I mean, I feel like that's like one of the first things that comes out of your mouth in every episode is... Yeah. Your full name, right? You're not even like, this is Rashad. You're like, this is Rashad Anthony Dickerson, like date of birth, this, social security number, this, just in case you want to identify me. So then it's like, what does it matter if it's in the title or not?
I don't want to be presumptuous. No, do I want to be egocentric in any way? I don't want to be viewed as such. Like y'all started talking, they started talking about doing the podcast in visual format. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go that route.
Well, and we've heard from a lot of our customers that that's the only way they'd really tune in is if we were doing something on YouTube or if it was video based, and which takes a whole lot more time and effort for editing and that kind of.
You know how I feel about that.
I know, but and we might just do sound or something like that. But we certainly have to figure out ways to get those who are homeless easier access to the podcast.
That's exactly what it is. Like one of the things that really, really gets to me is that from the jump street, from start, the intent was to, what you say, help desk give the homeless a voice. I really, 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 I think I'm a great advocate for those guys, but I like for somebody else to take the spot. Like somebody what? Who was, yeah, I know. It's not that I, put
good,
it this
good
way.
Good thing it's not up to you.
That's it. Basically, what I'm saying is, like, I want alternate perspectives. I want others impacted by what's going on.
I think you can do that without having someone else host. I think you do that by bringing more guests in. And for the next season, I want more guests. I want, if anything, only guests who are experiencing homelessness. Yes. So we get a lot more perspective, a lot more, because all the perspectives are different. You know, everyone's story is different. I want to hear more of those stories. And less of services. And I think you can do that by empowering them in that episode to ask you questions and talk to you. So maybe it's a little more interactive that way.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have someone like you keeping it strong, keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Rashad. No. Well, okay. I got.
Sorry, you're not some getting thoughts. Fired from this job.
I know, it's cool. This is the first time that's ever happened.
And you can't resign from it, actually.
It's okay. I mean, I'm grateful for, like I said, I'm grateful for the, man, you guys work side by side with me. I remember when I was going through school, I needed books. And I spent all my book money. And here comes Jasmine.
Like a typical college student.
Okay, so, you know, it's like you guys have side by side walk with me, and that's, you know, you got to have an attitude, personable, be humble and respectable and responsible, and I show up for you guys every time. Sorry I was a little late today, but we keep it like we've kept a relationship that has been very beautiful.
I love that you appreciate the things we've done for you or with you, but I'm pretty sure I don't speak just for myself when I say that working so closely with people who are experiencing homelessness or hungry or, you know, with the elements outside, I mean, it's really hard not to completely overstep boundaries and not to try to like get an apartment for you in my name. Like, you know, like as much as we've done, I feel like it's not enough. You know, it's really hard to.
I mean, I'm good right now. Like people
you are.
Understand.
You're in a really awesome place right now.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we've been there to be able to support you while you help do that stuff for yourself. But I do think for a lot of people, it's hard to have relationships with others who are less fortunate or struggling without trying to be that savior to come and like save them temporarily. Yeah. But then you're never really, they're never figuring out how to be, you know, self-sufficient.
That There's way. The Jesus in you. I like that.
I got a lot of Jesus in me for a non-Jesus girl.
So if you guys didn't know, Jazz is Prego. She has been with us for a very long time, and I believe she's going on leave.
I will be. Yes, this will be certainly our last episode of the season, but certainly a good timing before I start my leave, probably at the end of next week.
And you are having?
A boy.
In his
a
name?
A baby boy. Hopefully a human baby boy. Sometimes it feels like an alien in there.
Yeah, no, I saw that one time.
They do, especially at a certain point. He's a chubster, right?
You're the first and only woman I've seen the baby go the opposite way.
Yeah, he's like trying to push up. I'm like, there is no exit strategy up. There's only an exit strategy down.
Right.
You really need to start that journey soon. Because mama is about to start charging some rent.
Right.
Because I know he's good, you know. Yeah. He's nice and fat right now, so he doesn't have an excuse. Yeah, he's comfortable in there. Although, I don't know, like, he's pushing, like, he doesn't have space anymore. So I'm like, there's plenty of space out here in the world, baby. Don't you want to join us in the world with lots of space?
And light.
And light. Beautiful.
Y'all stay tuned. We'll come back in a second. So, on the Prego scenario, we did have a coffee and conversation up here where we hosted for a lot of our patrons who were Prego.
So, okay. So, this year's been pretty cool. I feel like we've done, you know, it's year two of our Homeless Engagement Initiative, and we've done just some really fun things that I don't think would be possible without just the work we did in the first year. But, so, of course, I'm pregnant, and baby stuff is on my mind. And so it turns out that we actually have several of our regular homeless customers who were also expecting. And so we thought, well, and one in particular, Nikki and her husband, James, and they've been around forever. And they've certainly been in my life and attending our program since day one. Mm-hmm. And she and I happen to be due like almost the exact same week. So then we thought, okay, well, it's not just the two of us, but this is a good excuse. And it turns out there were at the time two more. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, and people can judge and they will. And when I was talking to somebody as I was prepping some of the cupcakes that day, they were like, oh, that's so sad. And why don't they use birth control? And then this girl, it turns out, had a baby when she was a teenager herself. And I was like, oh, look at you, Miss, like, more judgy than anyone else when you've... And I don't know. I think for me, it's twofold. One is that there are terrible, terrible people out there who have children every day. And so these ladies happen to not have a stable home right now. But I mean, there are drug addicts. There are just mean, awful people. There are, I mean, there's all kinds of people, and there's no control you have over that. So why judge anyone, who happens to not have a stable house right now and is pregnant? And for some of them, it, you know, I think it's a good motivator to get them to figure out, you know, how they can become more stable for the sake of their children. And I found a lot of our customers, they're self-sacrificial in that way, just like you, Rashad, where it's like they want to help everyone else and they don't take care of themselves in the process. Anyway, sometimes having a child then can help motivate someone to do a little bit more. Plus, you know, it's not our job. It's not my job as a person nor at the library to judge. And that's, you know, one of the basic components of what we're doing here. So I thought, let's just celebrate. Let's just celebrate life, because anything can happen. And in this moment, we're all excited about this. And chances are these ladies are not going to have an opportunity to have, you know, a baby shower. And here I am having like five different ones. So I thought, you know, this should be a joyous, despite anything else, despite your own insecurities, despite anybody's concerns, this should be a celebration. And so we scheduled one of our regular coffee and conversation dates and made it baby shower themed. Mm-hmm. We had all kinds of, we had balloons.
There were games.
We had games. We did like a diaper changing contest. It was very interesting. Poor baby. When you're trying to do it really fast with one hand. Yeah, exactly. It's just good that it wasn't an actual baby, for sure. We had cupcakes and cookies and coffee, and even the guys wanted to participate in some of the games. Yeah. And it was a really good group. We had almost like 50 people there, I think.
I convinced my boss to let me come.
Yes. And
it helped that she wasn't at work that day.
The ladies were so appreciative. I gave them like each a little gift, you know, with like a little baby bath book and pacifier clip and a couple of other just baby things. You know, you don't want to give them anything too big, because some of them, that's more for them to store somewhere or figure out what to lug around. But it was really just a celebration of that. And they were very, very appreciative. One girl, actually, she wasn't pregnant, but her sister was. And we had an extra gift, and she was like, can I take that for my sister? And I was like, yeah. Because we'd made an extra one just in case there was a Prego we didn't know about. But it was amazing. Yeah. We took a picture with all of us, you know, moms-to-bees. We had little sashes. And it was just a really awesome hour and a half that everyone was really engaged in. And I feel like no one questioned, everyone was excited about it. And it just, to me, it was very evident of the work we've done here to gain everyone's trust and make everyone feel at home. Yeah.
I'm grateful. I mean, y'all don't understand what this means for me. Like, I'm seriously, usually, like you said, first episode, you got something freakishly eloquent to say. And I'm sitting in, I'm just, the more I think about it, it's just, there's heavy thoughts. Just heavy thoughts. I probably could write down my thoughts better than I could speak them at this moment, because we've been through a lot. And this is all just like a product of continually, for me, continually praying and continually wanting the best. And you call me self-sacrificial, but I don't feel the same anymore. I really don't. Like, I feel like, so if you don't know, I'm housed now. And I've been housed probably now about two and a half months, maybe 2 months. And it's been a doozy. Like, it's been very, very strange to me, because for the longest time, I've always had to be like, I've always been a boarder. I said that in one of my podcasts. And so now I'm like on my own, and, you know, I'm enjoying my life and I'm enjoying my peace. And then I'm having to make the decision, like certain decisions, and those decisions I understand will affect me in certain types of ways. And I just made some heavy decisions, like, you know, cut a couple of folk off and, bring some people into my life and do a lot of different things. And it's like, I understand now. You guys are actually witnessing the transition from homelessness to housed. And I'm housed now, and I'm like, I am extremely grateful. Like, but I'm extremely worried too. That's like I got a million things going on in the head at one time. And one of them wants to explain the transition to the people and to the listeners. But another part of me is just like, you know what, Rashad? That's the stuff they know about. They've been there. They've done that, which is why I want to try to bring different individuals in, which is why I almost felt like, hey, let's do this another host. But it's only because I feel like I don't know if there's much more to give. Like, I've given you the experience of the homeless man, and now I'm in a situation of being the house man. And, you know, who's going to represent the homeless here of this population? Like, people always say, Ryan said to me one time, and I'll never forget it. I was like, well, Ryan, when I get a house, man, you know, I'm in the spot, man. You know, I'm not homeless anymore. And he's like, you can tell your experiences. You've been there, you've done that. But for me, you know, when I was down there doing it, walking with them in the struggle, and I was being self-sacrificial, that's where I came from with the podcast. A sense of conviction, a sense of urgency that somebody needs to hear what these people have to say. Somebody needs to defend the people that can't be defended because they're not seen as reputable or responsible. Somebody needs to speak up for these people. And now I'm in a situation like, I'm in a catch-22 in a sense. So if anybody's got any thoughts.
Well, I don't think it's a requirement of your role to be homeless. I think you bring a lot to the table because of your experiences. But, you know, just like in journalism and, you know, just like any other kind of medium like that, you know, the role of the host is to facilitate the conversation. Make sure to ask the right questions so that people get to hear that perspective, and not because a journalist can be and have experienced all things.
I just feel disconnected in a sense. I feel like the ivory tower guy, like the guy that's sitting up in the ivory tower.
You are. You're living the life now, Rashad. You're too good for us and everything.
No!
I'm just kidding. How quickly the tables turn. No, I get that. And, you know, part of me, I remember the last time you were kind of going through a transition too, that it was like, are we holding him back by constantly making him play this part within this sort of world of homelessness when he's trying to get out? Like, if we force him to stay in it, is that actually making him feel like he needs to identify that way in order to continue being able to participate in this way? So, if you feel like you need to move on, I know I said earlier that wasn't up to you, but.
One of the things that I want to make sure that you understand is that even though you're now housed, you've been homeless. And you can still advocate for the homeless even though you're housed. You've gone from this phase and this facet of your life to the next one, but it doesn't change what has happened. You have now an even stronger bridge between the housed and the homeless. You're able to explain what it's like on both sides. And then too, that's an even better way for you to advocate for the homeless, to show that everyone who's homeless is not trying to stay there. there are people out there who are in the same situation. They're trying to find a way out. Likewise, there are people who are homeless and are happy that way.
Well, and the truth is I truly hope with every part of me that you stay housed and stay employed. And I continue to encourage you that despite work drama, we all have work drama. You just got to stick it through because it's stable. And that's just one of those things we all accept in life. But that, you know, and I know it was, I don't know if it was Dallas Morning News or KRA. I know KRA is doing the whole series about homeless youth in high schools and things like that and really exposing that. And I think it's Dallas Morning News who's doing the series on like the one paycheck away from kind of poverty and homelessness and that kind of thing. And the truth is should you lose your job? Should your housing situation change and you struggle to find another one? It's not to say that your life is destined to be homeless at some point again, but that it does expose the reality that homelessness is circumstantial. It's not a life sentence. No, but again, that perspective.
Yep.
And those sort of reality checks, because there have been periods throughout the show where you have been out of homelessness. And again, homelessness is such a weird label because it's like I literally don't have a stable place to live right now. So now I am homeless.
So I like the definition of the word vagabond. Word of the day.
Plug.
Vagabond. Someone who migrates from place to place. I think that was it. Did you look it up? Yeah, a traveler.
No,
yeah.
I didn't look it up. I'm familiar with the
just
word.
About 3 or 4 weeks ago I looked it up. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, I travel from place to place. I do my thing. You know, I go to work, you know. I'm grateful. I mean, but again,
if you feel like it would hold you back, if you feel like somehow you can't keep moving forward in your life unless you sort of cut off the culture of homelessness and the needs of that, then go for it. I mean, cut us loose.
No.
Cold turkey.
No. I mean, my thing is, I don't know where to go now. Like, I'm in that place. Like, I'm at a place where I've dreamed of being, you know, self-sufficiency. I'm there. It's been a while. It's been a thought. So now where do I go from here? I could continue to go back to school and continue to try to make the best things out of life. But life is it seems kind of cheap now. It's like I'm cheating because I'll tell you what I do on the average day. Average day. All right. Go to work 5:00.
A day
five
in o'clock. The life of Rashad.
Stop it. You. I go to work at 5:00 in the evening time. Okay. Get off at about 1:00, 2:00. I go to my house, play my game till about 6:00. I go to sleep and I wake up at about 1 or 2 again in the daytime. And then I stay there and do the same thing. This is like an everyday thing for me. Now, granted, I have a lot of responsibility, or I had a lot of responsibility. And now it seems as if I don't want to take any more responsibility. I may be taking the rest. I may be taking a break. I know my mind is overactive, but I just feel right now, I feel like a failure. I'm being honest with you guys. Like, in the
like
court,
a failure?
Yeah. In accord with all the things I was doing for you guys, I was running all over the city. I was.
Because you don't feel productive.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you're enjoying life and you're not struggling. Is that right?
Yeah. Sorta.
Welcome to the rest of our worlds for the most part.
I mean, life
being stable is kind of boring. It is, which is why people, you know, create drama or.
I might as well go back to the street because life was beautiful.
No.
I'm sorry.
But it's an adjustment. And the truth is, you can find things to keep yourself busy. I encourage you to just enjoy this for now and know that it's not forever. Know that, because even with the podcast, this is the last episode of the season. We certainly will be on hiatus for at least 3 months, my maternity leave.
Ow.
And and so that's certainly time where, and it's summer, you know, enjoy summer. Like it being
know,
summer.
I don't know how. Like, I'm not like, listen. I'm not doing the women, the ladies thing no more for a while. Cause
that's good.
I mean, thank you. Antoinette knows more than you guys know. So thank you. So I'm going to like really just enjoy.
I mean, the biggest thing that I'm hearing from you about the issue that you're facing, it seems like you're a warrior and you have conquered your war. And now there's nothing left to fight for. But that's so not true.
I feel like that's the human condition. It's like we're so beyond survival that we're just like we create problems and we're bored. And that's I think that's the sort of romantic side of being homeless, is that you're sort of thrown back into this sort of need to survive excitement.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're sleeping in a car and you wake up and there's people around your car or there's a deer outside your car, that's beautiful. You know, when you're working and you're like, your body's falling apart and you're like praying, and then you receive just a jolt of energy and you go back and you finish the shift and you're proud of yourself. Like I, at one point in time, I was actually proud of myself, and now I'm in a position where I feel like, well, this is life, you know?
But you can be proud of yourself for the things you have already accomplished and know that those things are evidence of what you can do at any time that you choose to do that. I mean, I'm going to be off of work for 3 months and doing nothing but taking care of a baby.
That's a lot harder than it
I know it is.
Sounds.
I know. But I think if it weren't for, you know, my plans are to come back to work, and but there's always the possibility of being a stay-at-home mom. And I think that if I hadn't done so much in my career so far, I think that I would probably have more moments of questioning that possibility, because it's like you would feel like a failure. Like, I haven't done these, I haven't accomplished these things. How can I just enjoy life? Life is a struggle.
Right.
I'm supposed to be struggling right now and, you know, fighting an uphill battle against something.
It's like a roller coaster. You just happen to be at the bottom, but trust me, you will go back up and fall
again. Hopefully it's not related to housing or employment. Maybe it'll be something else. Maybe you know, of course it's inevitable. You're going to re-engage with a female and drama will ensue. And hopefully you've learned from your previous experiences how to have a nice, healthy relationship. But even in the healthiest relationships, there's going to be drama. That'll keep you busy.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk more when we come back. Street View Podcast. So, as we've come to the journey, at the end of the journey of the second season, I've been giving it a lot of thought. I'm still giving it some thought. Me and you talked not too long ago, Mr. Ryan, about comments, like feedback. And this was the dilemma we had going on in the first season. It was like, I wanted to see the production or the produce or the yielding of the crop, in a sense. And so I think what I'll do is, for a while, I'm gonna give it some thought, some time, while Jasmine's on maternity leave. We're gonna keep doing the homeless engagement initiative here at the library. Let's talk a little bit about that, what we got going on here.
I'll just say, I think we've had a really great year. I know we talked about the coffee conversation, the baby shower theme, which is just a really cool highlight. But in May, we did a community forum, and it was awesome. And the theme was redefining community one conversation at a time, and was really our attempt to pull in sort of more general public, community members and some of our community partners to highlight what the library's been doing over the past 2 years, but also to start a community dialogue about, you know, what role does the library really play in this? And then what role does the community really play in addressing the needs or issues related to homelessness? You know, one of the big things that I feel like we probably could have covered more about was, you know, how most people's perception of those who are experiencing homelessness are the panhandlers they see on the street. And I can even say that despite my experience with hundreds of people who are experiencing homelessness, being approached by a panhandler downtown is one of the most uncomfortable experiences I think anyone can have, particularly if there's a negative reaction to saying no. And the truth is I never carry cash on me, so I never feel bad like I'm lying to somebody. And certainly if I have change, yeah, I'll give it to them, because, you know, it's just taking up space in my wallet anyway. I feel like there's just a lot more to be done to educate the community about the differences that someone who is panhandling and asking you for money is not, should not be sort of generalized in terms of someone's perception of those who are struggling with homelessness. They're not the same. They may not even be homeless if they're panhandlers. A lot of panhandlers actually make some pretty good money and go somewhere to sleep at night. So, but even if they are, you know, I do think the issue is separate, and there's still a lot more that needs to be done to open people's minds to that one conversation at a time, which, you know, is kind of stemmed from our coffee and conversation program, that even for us, and I think any of our staff who've been lucky enough to have a really great conversation with someone who's experiencing homelessness, that it really opens up their minds as to what that experience is like, and that they're, what they thought, the stereotypes they had in mind, their misconceptions were not true at all. So we had about 70 people show up for that.
Oh, question. First show we talked about you wanting to find out the culture. How you feel about that? I mean, you just gave a synopsis of a homeless individual and different characteristics and traits. You feel like you got accomplished what you wanted to get accomplished?
I think I have a pretty good understanding of homeless culture. And I don't think it's too different from just street culture. Even though there can be a common culture, it certainly doesn't mean that there's a common story or common experience that every single person we've spoken to or gotten to know has had a very different story and experience. But once they get into homelessness, and whether it's through the shelter or through encampments, I do think there's a very clear culture that happens around them in terms of just group dynamic. There's usually some sort of like leader. There's loyalty's huge. Consistency's huge. I feel like things happen on a faster timeline for some people. I remember when we had one customer meet a guy and they were engaged in 3 days. I won't name any names. It didn't last. But there is, and there's that hypersensitivity to the world, I think, is part of that culture like you were talking about. You know, you literally, the roses smell that much richer. And that's really, I feel like that's all most of the people experiencing homelessness kind of have in common. Other than that, everything is so varied and so different. And I think that's really the most important part, is being open to those differences and not automatically judging.
We went to the street. Would you be able to tell the changes in the homeless population from when we first started till now?
I don't think if we went to the streets, we could. I think in this building, you can. I think there's a friendlier sort of feel throughout the building between staff and customers. And I think the availability of our help desk and our programs makes our customers and our staff feel like there's somewhere to send some of those customers who need extra attention or help. So there's options. We have a lot more options now for accommodating different people and their needs. So I think that's really helped the environment here at the library. I'd love to see that. Yeah, I'd love to see the library change the world.
I mean,
except I think we've been pretty realistic in our goals and objectives, which is primarily the role of the library and primarily our, you know, our visitors that come in and out of this building every day.
I had somebody at work say to me the other day, yeah, the libraries are dying. I was like, but if you guys are doing that over there? It's like, yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what we're doing. Man, I gotta check it out. I gotta figure it out. Like, I gotta come see. I gotta see the podcast. I gotta know. And I had a lot of different, like, just some people were really, really interested in it. But as far as homelessness is related, I just want to kind of talk about what I saw. I've seen Farmers Market go down, which was directly in front of the bridge. I've seen a community form the mural you guys. I've seen a piano class. I've seen the piano teacher turn around and say, well, let's do guitar. I've seen the library open up in that way, 2 movies at one time. I've seen all of the beautiful art around the library. I've seen, man, I won't say the streets are clean or nothing like that. I'm not at, you know, this ain't Gotham City or nothing, and I ain't Batman, but
I don't think our streets are even that dirty compared to other urban areas.
Don't leave Houston out of this. I see. I've seen the people of Dallas are, they're not as mean as they used to be to me. I didn't see it like that. At one time, I thought it was like, I'm from New Orleans, so we're really, really chummy with everybody and anybody. But now you guys have shown me a lot of love too, continually. And I'm grateful. And I just want to thank Dallas, period, for listening to this and whoever's listening to it. I want to thank you guys for listening to it. But our job is people. And I strongly believe in this. If we're supposed to be selfish, then God would have just made one of us. If we're supposed to be selfish, he'd have just stayed up there by himself. He didn't need us. You know what I mean? So I truly believe that we are supposed to be selfless individuals. And I mean, we get to a point where we desire to have things. We become what the Bible calls covetous. And we desire to have these different things, you know, look a certain way. Everyday struggle for me has always been vanity. It's gonna always be that. It's gonna always be that. So in so many words, what I'm saying is, if you have listened to the podcast in any sort, or if you just have some inkling of hope and light in life and you want to do something more than be selfish, like I feel like I'm being lately, like I've been lately. If you want to do something more than that, go out there and do it. Like, just even if it's just saying hey or thank you, just say thank you to people, or just, you know, how you doing, or just, you know, it was crazy. Just the other day I walked past the library, and in my head, in my thought, my intuition was, this man, who knows this man, he's just standing here and he's just looking up. Maybe he might be thinking about who's his friend, who's not his friend. And so in the middle of my walk, and I stopped, I said, how you doing, sir? I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. The guy smiled, and his smile is like humongous. So whether you're homeless or whether you're housed or whatever, I encourage you to be selfless in some sort, or not even selfless, but just sacrificial of some way, in some way. I think that's the true human experience. whether we go Jesus Christ, whether we go JFK, whether we go MLK, whether we go any individual, the human experience, in some form, one day you will have to sacrifice something. Why not sacrifice something for somebody else? It's just my thought. And so with that, I'm back up out the mic. And I want to kind of do this poem I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And y'all got the, so y'all already gave them the whole spiel. Dallas Public Library does not reflect the views. No, so I mean, this has been on my mind and on my heart for a very long time. So I'm going to represent ECC Spoken Word just for a second. Spit Poets, all my MCs, I want y'all to just vibe to this. I speak for more than one when I say I'm the son of a man who had a plan to make himself bigger than he was, bolder than the fuzz. Some of these mans took an oath to sling dope. Others was cutthroat long before we had a committee. I'm speaking fitties. Back when Ruger's was called Smitty's. If you knew my city, then you had to be gritty or grimy. If you knew your way around the hood, you affiliated with slimy individuals. Junkies with residual service made you nervous, but there was regulars. You kept them on edge just to beat out your competitors. It wasn't perpetual hate. Like today, cash was more about getting cake than what was on another man's plate. Back in the old days, brothers with old age was respected, even though they injected. Shooting for the sky wasn't the limit. The limit was the image of being content for what we had spent. If you knew then what we know now, we'd show how wax could be used for profit. We'd expose how blacks weren't the only ones to light up a rocket. Unity in the community, but now do me a favor and send me a savior, cause hustling wasn't the only thing my papa was made of. He was a jack-a-man, smack-a-man, screaming, give me the loot. Five-time loser in the state of the boot. I'm guessing that's the way things was back in the day, and if my mama was here, she probably would say, it's effed up. This world that we living in. You a man like the next, and you can't even make a dividend. You follow their rules, yet you in the cold shivering. And I'm supposed to believe they understand what it's like to want to give it in? Nah. Leverage is all they understand. Pride may be the downfall of man, but practice makes perfect, and proud preparation of a plan gonna make a broke brother feel like 100 grand. See what I'm saying? I got the heart of a warrior, the mind of a carnivore, the feelings of a pit while he's mob starving us. It's over 150 years later and you still call yourself dogging us. Most of y'all gregarious, us young brothers is arduous, don't bother us, sticking us in cages. Then you got the audacity to call me inhumane when I say that you're a racist. But it's cool, I know the truth, you're scared of us. And if we say we taking a cut off that boat trip ship, it's gonna be a whole lot of burnt and charred areas. A lot of people that I know gonna say that, boy, they're nefarious. But for future reference, if we thought long enough and hard enough, they wouldn't be prepared for us. But you be a mule, and on your backbone is the Americas that killed JFK. They killed MLK. Turn half the population gay, and keep telling you a green and white piece of paper gonna be the thing to save the day. It's exterminating the black man, system eating you boys alive like Pac-Man. You believe in trap or die, but you don't see it through their eyes. Alright. The trap is a trap for these future rats. If they catch you with a half a gram of crack, they'll offer you 25, then you'll turn around and cry. And that's what makes you a nigga, cause you stupid like them hoes, and the acrimony you feeling, you save it for your foes while you locked off in the joint. They turning their head the opposite way, saying I don't know what's bringing earth to its boiling point. But it's still black smoke clouds in the sky, like they poking God in his eyes, saying is it true that you're alive? Wish I was there to see his face and know exactly how he felt. But we all know our part in this bargain, you gotta deal with what you dealt. See, we belong out in Washington, and the positions that they offering to my people is demeaning to my people. Dr. King taught us be equal, and if not, then there could be a sequel to the days of Malcolm X, and if, with all due respect, if I die before my time, they ain't a lying, it's rhyme. See, we could take what y'all call country, cause I know I'm not the only one that feel it's effed up that while you and your people eating truffles, me and my brothers could barely afford lunch meat. I won't do it, I won't let you hunch me over, stand on my back and tell the rest of the world that America was built on four-leaf clovers and rainbows. Why you sit back manipulating your political game polls? How do I know for sure? Cause everybody in the hood voted for Al Gore. But Bush still made it, and Iraq got raided. The Middle East got penetrated, and oil prices cascaded the norm. Let us out of our dorms, we won't do you no harm. Cause the rest of America already know that you spitting in their face. But on a personal note, I wish you would stop sending our tax dollars into space from your little brother. Thank y'all for listening to the Street View podcast today. We appreciate y'all. Hey man, just tune in, give us some comments and some replies, and yo, we wait for you and we work for you. Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.